Welcome to Destiny Harvest Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between D.C. and Baltimore. We're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you've tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@mydestinyharvest.com. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He's doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
This is actually the very first Easter that there ever was. You guys ready to read with me? Here it goes. Now, when He rose early on the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast. Look at somebody next to you, tell them, I'm doing okay. I may not be perfect, but then nobody cast seven demons out of me. I am doing, for me personally, it was only four, so I'm doing okay. Verse 10, she went and told those who had been with Him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that He was alive and had been seen by her, did you guys catch that? First Easter, Peter, James, John, all of them did not believe. Verse 12. After that, He appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not. Two messengers came to the 11 disciples and they still didn't believe. 14. Later He appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table and I sent two people to tell you you still didn't believe. He said He rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. Stay standing, let's pray. Father God, we're so grateful, God, to be in this place because God, You said wherever two people come together and focus on You, God, that You're going to show up. So God, I pray that You would show up today, God, that You would speak to us and that Easter wouldn't just be something that we celebrate. Your resurrection wouldn't be something that we celebrate, but God, that it'd be something that we experience. God, we're grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Before you sit down, high five two more people. Tell them, chased down by grace. Come on now, tell somebody. Chase. Chased down by grace. So you made it. You're here. You didn't know if you're going to make it. Get all the kids dressed and everybody out the house. Hopefully, no one got a whooping on the way to church. They all got here safely. Everybody's looking all good. Just look at somebody next to you. Tell them you look great. You look awesome. Somebody walked into church disappointed. Said, Pastor, where are the floral capris that you had last year? And I said, you know, you can only pull that trick once. Decided I'm not going to do the floral capris this year. Before I jump into the message, I'd ask everybody, if you look in your worship guide, you'll see that connection card. If you could just pull that out for me. And on the back of the card on the front, you can put down your information. And we ask just that everybody fills this card out today, whether it's your first time or not. We can update all your information and all that. But there's a survey on the back that we would like everybody to take. And why do you do it on Easter? Well, we were trying to figure a day that everybody would come. And we figure Easter would be the most likely day to get as many people's feedback as possible. And here's the purpose of this survey. And maybe you're new to Destiny Harvest, so let me just help you out with this. Destiny Harvest is a little bit of a different church. We're not a church that exists for a bunch of Christians to get together to huddle and hug each other and pray for each other and encourage each other, and it's all about each other. We're actually a church that exists for people who are not yet here. We believe that church shouldn't be about our personal comfort, but it should be about connecting people with a God that loves them more than they can ever imagine. So one of the things you're going to notice is over and over and over again, we're constantly asking, how can we make it better? How can we reach for people? How can we make it more comfortable? Hence, Destiny Kids, because how many parents know church would be great if I didn't have to hold my child for the whole service? By the way, can you guys give it up for Destiny Kids? Are they not And just in case if you're wondering, Destiny Kids is not babysitting. They're not back there feeding your kids goldfish and graham crackers and just keeping them quiet till you come. They have their own service going on, their own worship, their own message, their own connect group, literally what we're experiencing in here, just on their level. I don't want to tell you this, but sometimes they have more fun in there. But literally what we just want to say, hey, is there's just a couple things that we do here, and we want to know how they're working. The first thing that we put on there is, have you completed our growth track? And if you've never heard of our growth track, it's just a four-session gathering right after every service. It's actually today. And the goal of our growth track is to help outsiders feel like insiders. You know, when you come into a big crowd, you could feel like, man, nobody knows that I'm here. I'm not significant. But we believe that God has a purpose, a plan, and a destiny for your life. And we want to help you plug in and figure out where you fit. So we'd like to know. You say, hey, this is my first time. You just put, nope, never been. This is my first time. If you've been and you finished it, say yes. But there's a lot of you that say, hey, I haven't finished it. And we want to know why. And here's what I ask you to do. I know this is church and you're not allowed to do this, but just this one time in church. Can you be honest? Literally, like, it's too long. It's boring. I'm hungry. I don't want to go. Whatever it is. And let me tell you, you're actually going to kind of fix a little bit of a debate that's going on around the staff, because we're trying to figure out, do we want to do one? Do we want to do four? All those other kind of stuff. The second thing is this, are you serving on a dream team? By the way, our dream team are the volunteers that make this church happen. And then the last one is, are you in a connect group? Connect groups are just groups of between 5 and 15 people that meet during the week as high up as Towson and as far down as Washington, D.C., and everywhere in between. And here's why. Because Destiny Harvest at this point is hundreds of people. It's growing. We're believing that it's going to be thousands and thousands of people. Amen. But we don't want anybody to feel invisible. You know, you could walk into a crowd and feel like nobody even cares or knows that I'm there. So connect groups are that place where you could be a part of a big church, but yet there's still people that know you and are praying for you and encouraging you. There's mothers connect group, mothers with new children, and I just had a child, and I just realized it's stressful. I'm not even a woman. There's financial classes. There's fitness classes. I don't do that one. They get up at 6 a.m. and run like 20 miles. I don't know, that's not my connect group, but if that's your thing, connect with it. They're all on the website. But if you could just jot down and just fill out that survey. And here's one of the things that I know, that a lot of times people, especially people who would no longer consider themselves young, they'll walk into church and they're just like, dude, everybody's 12. I'm not 12. I'm 14, okay? So, but no, seriously, they'll walk in and say, you know, well, connect groups or volunteers or whatever. That's a young kid's game. You know, I just see all the kids and they're doing it, and then it's just, I'm just too old for that. Or can I just be honest? You can find it as a really honest church. People walk in and be like, oh, that's a black church. There's no room for me. Or I heard there's a good number of Nigerians. That's an African church, or that's an immigrant church. Let me tell you, Destiny Harvest is a church. We're not white, we're not black, I'm not African, everybody else is. But we really just want to be intentional about making this a place that no matter your age, your demographic, your background, what side of the train tracks you come from, this fits for you. We can't do that without hearing your feedback. Amen? You guys ready to preach? You're going to help me preach? Come on, let's do this. So here's the thought or the mindset behind the Easter sermon. And by the way, let me just help you out. Please laugh, scream, shout, stand up, say amen. I've been working on this for like 3 weeks straight. And they're tired of me because I've changed it like 10 times. It's like I just got to preach this thing because I've put so much attention and focus into this. But here's kind of the big thought about today. Kind of just answering a question. I like to answer questions, and one of the questions I'd like to answer today is, what's the big deal about Easter? Like, I get it. It's the day that we all kind of stop and celebrate Jesus. It is the day that he came back to life. If you don't know the story, the Bible teaches us that on Friday, Jesus died on the cross. You ever wondered why they called it a Good Friday? It was not a Good Friday for him. It was a painful Friday where he was beaten and abused and then hung on the cross. The Bible says that he hung on that cross and took the punishment for all of our sins and all of our mistakes on himself. He was in that tomb for Friday, Saturday, and then on Sunday morning he rose, he came back to life. Easter, Resurrection Sunday, is the day that we celebrate Jesus coming back to life. I don't know your kind of Easter tradition. I was kind of having fun with my siblings last night, and I was just saying, man, do you guys remember Easter growing up? Easter growing up in our family, it was, I mean, I'm Barbadian. It's an island in the Caribbean, and we have this word called condunment. It's like this big carnival. We'd be like, you're a Mardi Gras. And we say, man, Easter was just this big festival from beginning to end. My dad was a pastor. I have five siblings, and there's always random people in our house, so the house was packed. Easter would start Saturday morning. We'd pack all the kids up and we'd go down to K&G. Anybody remember K&G? Or Burlington Coat Factory or one of those places. And my father, the man of God, would get to elbowing people out of the way, snatching suits, and just what it doesn't fit, that's okay. You're going to Easter and you can't go to Easter busted. And they'd throw suits on us and we'd bribe some tailor to fix them the day of and skip us ahead in line. And then we would get home about 5 or 6 o'clock at night, and we would come home to a torture chamber. My sisters would be yelling and screaming. There's all types of tools of torture, hot irons and blow dryers and all types of wax and creams, and they're back there slaying dragons and taming beast, and because the hair has to be laid. Is that what it's gonna be? It just gotta be right because it's Easter. We'd smell food coming out of the kitchen. I don't know what it is about Easter, but in my house, you can't have Easter without lamb. I don't know if it's because they call Jesus the lamb that was slain. I'm like, are we eating Jesus on Easter? There's something wrong with this. But there would always be lamb in the oven, and it was just kind of like this big deal. And we'd go to church, and we kind of, God bless church, but it wasn't really about church. It was about the pictures after church. So all Sunday, all we would hear is, don't mess up your suit. Don't take off your tie. Don't mess up this. Don't put a hole in your stockings. Don't do this. Don't do this. Because it's all about the pictures after Easter. And then Monday would come, and we'd forget it all. Hang the suits back up and get ready for Easter next year. I just feel that there has to be a bigger connection to our lives than just dressing up one day of a year, celebrating a resurrected Savior, and then going back to our business. And I find so many people, if they were to be honest, they say, Pastor, I just struggle to make a connection between an event over 2,000 years ago and the fact that I really need my nonprofit to get this grant or we're going to close. Or I really need my child to be healed and the doctors don't seem to know what's going on and I'm just getting report after report and I'm excited about Easter, I'm excited about the resurrection, I'm excited that he came back, but I really don't know, how does that connect with my reality? How does that work on my Monday? If you feel like, man, I'm excited, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not excited. I just came so my kids could get off my case, get some Easter eggs, and I'm going to get out of here or wherever you are. But you're sitting in a position where you're saying, I can't really say I know how Easter connects with my reality. Let me help you out. You're in some really good company. Because on that first Easter Sunday, watch this, zero people. None of them, Peter, James, John, Mary, the mother of Jesus, none of them were able to make a connection between what had just taken place and their reality. You would think on the first Easter that, I mean, they would be at the tomb ready for it to open and Jesus to come out and to celebrate and all this other kind of stuff. Can you imagine how disappointed Jesus was when he came out of the tomb? He was like, guys, somebody? Anybody? And the guards at the tomb are like, it could be said this way. All Jesus' followers missed the first Easter. Nobody got dressed up. Nobody celebrated. Nobody took pictures. In fact, the disciples, his main 11 that he was leaving the entire church to, they locked themselves in a room. They actually locked the women out. Some men, right? Because they were afraid that if they had killed Jesus, we're probably next. They all failed to make the connection. And as I've been studying, I just feel that there's four main reasons and four different people and why they missed the connection. And maybe you fit into one of these areas why it's difficult for us to make a connection between Resurrection Sunday and our reality. The first thing is this. If you could pull out your sermon notes, you'll see that there's little blanks. Those are there not so much for you, but for me. So I stay on track and don't make this a three-hour service. Somebody say, thank God for the blanks. First thing I want you to write down is this. Some people fail to make the connection because they're too busy to make the connection. The Bible says that Mary Magdalene and another woman named Mary, which makes it very confusing to figure out which Mary was Mary. I think Mary was just like the name at the time. It says they made their way to the tomb. And like I said earlier, not to celebrate Jesus, not to even meet Jesus, but just to embalm his body, to put spices on his body for his burial. You see, Jesus on Good Friday, he died right before the Jewish Passover. And it was the law for the Jews at that time that no work could be done during the Passover. So I could just imagine these women during the entire Passover, they're not paying attention. They're just sitting there. When is Passover over so that we can go and embalm the body of Jesus? What were they so concerned about? Well, these women had made it their task to serve Jesus for his entire life. Mary Magdalene, who had seven demons cast out of her, and other women, it says that they would follow Jesus and his disciples around all the time, and they would cook for them, and they would meet any needs that they have, made sure that they had a place to stay. It was their job essentially to work. And while they were working, while they were serving, while they were doing all this, they had to have heard Jesus say, hey guys, I'm going to die and come back to life 3 days later. But they were so busy, they missed it. One time, Jesus was with all of them, and he said, hey, you see this temple? I'm going to destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I'm going to build it back. They heard that, but they still missed it because they were so busy. I've discovered that you can get to a level of busy in your life where you're living and not really living, where you're hearing and not really hearing. All the men in the room will know about this, but I'm not allowed to say it because I'll get them in trouble. I'm just getting myself in trouble. You just look straight ahead. You ever been in a position, we all have men, husbands, where your wife is talking and you see her lips moving, but you're not really processing. And you know, as long as I put the properly placed, yeah. I mean, it depends on what you want. That you can keep on going, and I've not a clue what she's saying until you're caught. And she says, what do you think? You know, I think you're really wise, and really whatever you think is what I... You could be in a position and completely miss... Why? Because your mind is somewhere else, you're focused on something else, and you're there, but you're not really present. I find so many of us, we live lives where we're here, but we're not really present. Some of you guys are listening to me. Some of you guys are on Instagram.
See what they, I knew they weren't going to church today.
You're like here because there's so much going on. And if we're not careful, we could be so busy that we miss God's voice. I don't believe that these women were busy just because they had a lot of things to do, though. I believe they were busy because being busy is where they found their significance. You see, in that time in history, women were their property. Don't speak until spoken to. There's not much that you can contribute to society. And they were so tired of being overlooked that they finally ran into somebody who didn't overlook them. Somebody who actually knew who they were. And they said, okay, nobody sees me, nobody knows me, I feel invisible, but if I can work, if I can serve, if I can get something done, maybe I can be significant, maybe I can actually put something on this earth that will make people notice me. I find so many people, we're busy because we're trying to make people. You may overlook me, but not for long. Wait till I build this company. Wait till I get this degree. Wait till I, and we're so focused on what we're pursuing that we actually miss that God himself is pursuing us. Out of all these different things, this is the category I would fall into, and I don't have time to tell you my whole story, but I just grew up with a lot of siblings, and somehow I believe they were all smarter than me. They actually were. Our SAT scores prove that. My scores were missing a few digits. I had an older sister. She applied to like 15 colleges and got into all of them. I applied to college. And I went to said college. My sister, she was a classical piano player. She went to Peabody and she won all of these awards. I was playing honky-tonk like at 14. Somehow I just felt that I was invisible. And then I realized that if I worked hard enough, I can get noticed. So I said, I'm going to be someone who's defined by my work ethic. And some of you guys are like this. I started grinding. You know those people in here who you like to grind? You actually brag about how much sleep you have not had? I haven't slept in 3 months. I'll visit you one day. And I remember one day I was in college. I was working like two jobs at the time. And I was kind of just on my grind. And I was on lunch. And I ran out to get food because college food is horrible. And I'm on my way back to school. And I go around this bend. I'm not going to say I was speeding. I was just driving intentionally. And I don't even know what happened because it wasn't really raining. It had rained earlier, but my car started to spin. And as my car started to spin, it started to spin into the oncoming traffic lane. And I'm seeing my car spin, and I could even see it right now. I see this minivan that's coming right towards me. And you could call it what you want. All I know is I'm spinning this way, and I don't really know what I'm doing with the steering wheel. Then all of a sudden, I start spinning out of the path of the van back onto the other side of the road. I said, thank you, oh, no. There's a tree on the other side of the road. So now I'm spinning toward this tree, and my car parallel parks perfectly right on the side of the curb next to that tree. Now, you could do whatever you want. Pastor, I don't believe God speaks to people or whatever. You can say what you want. I just know what I know. I know in that moment, I heard God speak to me. And it wasn't some, I always think that God sounds like Dave Earl Jones, Stephen. It wasn't an audible voice. It was just this sense in my heart. I see you. I know you. And I'm trying to get your attention. Even if it's just for these 5 hours that we're spending today together, I feel like God has brought us to a place of stillness just to say, I see you, I know you, and I have a plan for you. The second thing is this, you can write this down. Some people are too intellectual to make the connection. The Bible says that after Jesus left Mary Magdalene, then he went up to heaven and got a new body. I don't know why, the old body, he didn't want everybody to see that one. And it says that he literally runs after two disciples. These two disciples were so disgusted that Jesus died and did not come back to life that they quit being disciples. They threw in their cloaks, they laid down their spear, I'm done, I can't do this. And they're leaving Jerusalem. And Jesus, it was 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus where they were going. Jesus, okay, he didn't run. He didn't need to run. He just appeared right behind him and said, hey, guys, what are you doing? Look at the response. In Luke 24:18, it says this. Then one whose name was Cleopas, whose parents clearly hated him. I'm just saying right now, Cleopas got beat up in school. He said, the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, said to Jesus, Are you the only stranger, imbecile, in all of Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happen there in these days? They looked at Jesus. They're like, dude, why are you asking us what's going on? You've missed it all. What happened for them is they could not intellectually wrap their mind around the fact that Jesus' death and resurrection actually had something to do with their life. I find there's so many people, you know, it's all well, you guys can believe in Jesus, you need Jesus, but I just don't understand how Jesus connects with science, so that's not for me. I just don't understand how a loving God could send good people to hell. I don't want anything to do with that. I can't wrap my mind around that. So you have your Jesus, you have your Christianity, but that's not for me. I don't want to be mean. I am a little mean sometimes, but can I just be mean for a second? If God is God, if he's the creator of all humanity, is it possible, maybe, that he could do something that we can't wrap our minds around? Maybe. But here's the thing. Jesus understood that different people connect and they see in different ways. So he chases these men down and said, hey, you need to wrap your minds around it? Great, I will help you. And for the next 4 or 5 miles, he walks with these men, breaking down the Bible, helping them to see how the Bible doesn't contradict science, it proves it. The Bible doesn't contradict the goodness of God. It actually proves it. I bet he turned to Isaiah 53, where it starts off, that he showed his hands to those who looked upon him and said, hey, guys, I'm actually going to go find a guy named Thomas and do that. Show him the nail print in my hand. But just so you knew I was honest, I wanted to predict it 600 years before it happened in your Old Testament so you would know this is real. Sometimes people say, you know, I'm not for all this religious stuff. You know, whatever you believe is all good. You know, but just, we all end up in the same place. All paths lead to heaven. You know that's not true, right? All paths don't lead to heaven. In Hinduism and Buddhism, they actually don't believe in any afterlife at all. They believe in reincarnation. And they don't really believe in sin at all. They just believe in karma. If you do bad, the earth will get you back. Some of you believe in karma. You live your whole life like, what are you looking for? The earth to get me back. In Islam, they believe that you cannot do anything about the bad that you've done. The only thing you could do is try to do enough good to outweigh your bad so that Allah will look at you and help you out if you're a man. If you're not, sorry. Jesus is the only being ever to even claim that I can do something about your mistakes. I don't need you to walk around looking over your shoulder like I'm going to come to get you. I don't need you going through life, I got to go to church. Why are you going to church? Because boy, when I was young, boy, college, whoo, got it. No. Jesus is like, don't make up for your mistakes. Just give them to me. And I will take your punishment on me. And I will give you my reward for my righteous living. You see, when you follow Christ, you don't earn what you deserve. You earn what Jesus deserves. The Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Christ suffered for Stephen's sin once for all time, which means I don't have to go through life looking over my shoulder. He's taking care of it. He never sinned, but he died for Stephen to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death. But he was raised to life in the spirit. The third reason why people fail to make a connection between the resurrection and their life is this. Some people are just too realistic to make the connection. When has Jesus ever worked my 8-hour day for me? When has Jesus ever changed a diaper for me? When has Jesus ever paid a bill for me? When he does that, then I might consider him. That's where the 11 disciples came in. You see, the 11 disciples, they were Jewish, which means that throughout the entire scripture, watch this, from Matthew on, they were slaves to the Roman Empire. So they weren't looking for a way into heaven. They were looking for a way out of slavery. They were looking for somebody to take Caesar out of the way and to restore the Jewish kingdom the way that the Bible prophesied it would take place. So the whole time they're following Jesus, they think Jesus is, well, he said he's the King of Kings. He said he's the Lord of Lords. So surely he has to do something about Caesar. And when Jesus died and rose again, and Caesar was still there, I'm still looking for a job. I still haven't found a cure. My marriage is still on the rocks. They were not able to make a connection because they were looking at the literal. They were looking at a specific situation. If God doesn't move this from here to there, I'll never believe. Funny thing is, Jesus left them so many clues. Like looking back, and I know we would have missed it too if we were there, but looking back, it's like, how did you guys miss this? The Bible says that after the women came to the 11 and told them, hey, there's no body. We talked to angels. He's alive. It says that the 11, they ran to the tomb to see themselves. John, he's a little conceited, so he said, the one that Jesus loved, that's me, he got there first. He just wanted everybody to know I could run faster than Peter could. But it says that when he got to the tomb, he didn't go in. He just looked in. It says when Peter got there, he went straight into the tomb. I wonder if that's a picture of some of you today. I'm just going to peek in, see what's going on in there. I've discovered that as long as we peek in on God, we'll always miss it. It's not until you go head first in. It says that Peter went in and he saw that the clothes that Jesus had been buried in were folded and laid where the body was. Now, I don't know about you. I know we have a lot of people in here who are military, which means you make your bed. I didn't until I got married. Somewhere my wife read the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People or something like that, and someone said that people who make their bed every morning are more likely to be wealthy. Ever since she read that, every single morning, you better make that. And she'll examine every corner. But here's just my thought. If you died, went to hell, grabbed the keys of death from Satan himself, came back to life 3 days later, you're a boss. Bosses don't make their bed. Why would Jesus take the time to fold his clothes before he left? He was trying to help the disciples make a connection. You see, in that day, kings, they wouldn't speak to their servants. So servants had to watch body language to figure out what the king wanted. So if a king is sitting at the table and there was a messenger that came with a message or whatever, and he had to get up, he would give his servants a signal of whether he was coming back or not. If he balled up his napkin and dropped it on the table, he said, hey, clear the table, I won't be back. But if that king folded up that napkin and neatly put it at his place, it was a signal to his servants, don't put things away, I'll be right back. Jesus took the time to fold up that cloth. It was a signal to his disciples. Don't get freaked out. I know Caesar is still there, but I'll be right back. But they missed it. I'm preaching a whole lot. Last thing is just write this down. And you can start playing. I'm done. I'm out of time. The last disciple was too disappointed to make the connection. This disciple's name was Thomas. Many of you know him as Doubting Thomas. The reason why you know him as Doubting Thomas is because Christians are judgmental. Jesus didn't call him that. There's nowhere in the Bible he was named Doubting. You named him that. His name is Thomas. But Thomas said, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if you got ripped jeans and a pink jacket on. I don't care if you get up and sing Amazing Grace as if you're an angel from heaven yourself. Unless I take my finger and put it in the hole in his hand, I won't believe. You see, Thomas had met a level of disappointment that I don't know if you can be more disappointed. Thomas was looking for the body of Christ. And when he went to where the body of Christ was supposed to be, he couldn't find it. The Bible says that church is referred to as the body of Christ. And there's so many people. I went to church on my worst day, hoping to find something, and they didn't even notice that I was there. They didn't even notice that I was there. I sat down and they told me, this is not your seat. This is a seat that's only for deacons. I made one mistake, and before I got home, everybody in the church knew about it. I went to the one place where hope could be found, and I didn't find hope. So I give up. Unless I touch him myself, I'll never believe. I find there's so many people in that position. I tried church, and church didn't work. So I give up. I was talking to a woman. She said, Pastor, I've been at your church for 2 years, and I never met you before. I said, how is that? I'm so sorry. I stand in the front door every time. I don't know how that happened. And she said, no, I was avoiding you. And I said, okay, tell me why. She said, because I love this church. I love your preaching. And I was afraid of meeting you and being disappointed. Now, if I was an idiot, I would tell her, oh, no, I'll never disappoint you. But I'm not an idiot. So you know what I told her? I will disappoint you. I'm going to try my best, but you're going to catch me on an off day because I'm not perfect. But listen to me. The message was never find a good church and get your life fixed. The message was never go to a place where people believe and everything will be okay. The message always was and always will be find Jesus. And if you find Jesus, you'll experience all that he has for you. I preached this message to my wife yesterday because that's always my guinea pig. And she says, great, I love it. But how do you find Jesus? And I didn't have an answer. So I said, hey, babe, I got to go. I did. I hung up on her. Forgive me. That was one of my not perfect days. And as soon as I hung up on her, I felt like God told me, here's how you find me. And I called her back. I said, hey, babe, I got the answer. She said, what is it? I said, you don't have to find Jesus. Jesus will find you. Because on the first Easter, he chased down Mary to make sure that she found him. And then he chased down the two disciples on the road to Emmaus to make sure that they found him. Then he chased the 11 disciples to make sure that they found him. Then he came back for Thomas to make sure that he saw the nail prints in his hand. Jesus said, I don't need you to find me. I just need you to stop running. I just need you to make the connection from between where you are to where I am to know that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to you. Shh, sit down. You're scaring people. We're sorry. We do that every Sunday, but we try not to. Shh. So I'm out of time. What's the big deal about Easter?
The big deal about Easter is this: the resurrection is not about the resurrection. The resurrection is about, because of his resurrection, he can resurrect every single area of your life. Man, I love Scott and Emily, so brave to stand up in the church and say, hey, look how he's resurrected our marriage. There's story after story after story. Look how he's resurrected my business. Look how he's resurrected my hope. Look how he's resurrected my health. Listen to me, Easter is not something to be remembered. It's something to be experienced. The resurrecting king, he's still in the resurrecting business. Romans 8:11 says this. I messed up production. There we go. It stands to reason, doesn't it? That if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you, in your marriage, in your health, in your hope, that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life with his spirit living in you. Your body will be as alive as Christ. That's the connection. The resurrection was just Jesus showing off. If I can do this, what can I not do if you would have let me come into your life?
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at destinyharvest.tv. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.